Safe recording. So, first question. You've had a long history helping emerging writers in your writing career. There's, from what I know, Kalinda, me, Andrew, and I'm sure there's more. Many writers say they're too busy to help emerging writers. What motivates you to help emerging writers, and why do you do it?
I think, firstly, because I was really fortunate to have writers assist me and mentor me when I was starting off writing. In particular, a writer called George Papaelinas and Sasha Soldatov. And Sasha and I became, you know, we ended up writing a book together. But they were really instrumental in kind of having the kind of conversations you and I are having now, and looking at my work and being critical about the work and informing me about how the writing world works. So I feel like I have a debt to them, and that I'm that I don't want to forget that experience, and I want to take it on in my own life, in my own practice. And I think the other part of it too is because I know it's a really it's really difficult. I mean, you have the passion to write and you want to write, but you don't really know how it all works. You know, how do publishers work? How do agents work? How does this whole field called publishing work? And if you don't actually have the opportunity to discuss it with writers, if you've got those years of experience, well, you're always going to be on the back foot in a sense. And so I think for that reason, and probably a third reason for me is that education is really important, I think. I started at DipEd wanting to be a teacher and then realised I was too selfish. Like, I had to make, you know what the state school system needed was full-time teachers, not someone who saw it as a day job. And, you know, my vocation, my true job is writing. But I still feel like I want to have that that sense of the importance of education. I want to maintain it in my practice, and the mentoring of younger writers has been a really good way of doing that. And look, you know, it started. Express Media were fantastic, gave me the opportunity to do it, and I kind of, from the beginning, I knew I loved doing it. But I had to work out. I feel a bit guilty about the first couple of people I mentored because I was still working out how it worked, and I wish I'd been now, with hindsight, both more critical and more aware that they actually wanted answers to really technical or really industry-based questions, whereas I was all about the craft and writing.
Mm.
And sometimes, and that's obviously important, probably the most important thing, but there are other things that are important too, in terms of, you know, because we all want to be published.
Yeah.
But those are the three reasons. Yeah, it's a long way of saying a sense of this debt, and, you know, to George, Sasha, or the way they looked after me, kind of that wanting to make this industry a little bit less selfish than it is, and the primary importance, I think, of education in my politics and life.
Hmm. Very good. Okay, my next question is, will I ever get published, Christos? What advice can you offer me or emerging writers to help us stay focused and motivated when it's such a difficult industry to get published in?
What a question.
So when I ask you, will I forget published, Christos?
I think the first lesson I learned about writing was how important discipline was. Because I don't think Australia necessarily has there's not a lot of cultural capital attached to writing. Like, if we were sports people, I think we would feel more support in our general community than we do. You know, I remember being embarrassed for years about people saying to me, "What do you do?" And me having to say, "Well, really, I'm a writer. What have you got published?" "Oh, well,
nothing."
But I think you've got to kind of break through that, and if this is what you want to do, you've got to give yourself, you have to make the discipline, you have to treat it as work. That's the important first stage. And secondly, I would say, is to also think widely about other ways of writing. So You can write film reviews, you can write music reviews, you can write in fanzines or blogs, or you can write for local papers, you can write for the big papers. You can, there are different ways of honing your craft as a writer. So to think of those ways. And that way, every little thing that you publish goes towards your reputation, goes towards the long-term understanding of yourself. Someone called Christos Tsolkas as a writer, and that's where I first began writing, was at student on student newspapers, and by doing interviews and doing film reviews and doing music reviews, and kind of you learn how to write by doing those things. And then I know this, sometimes people don't want to hear this, but I've always worked part time. Since I made the decision in my mid 20s to only work part time and casual, and I was fortunate that I could do it, and I had a partner who understood and supported that position. But it is very, very difficult. We all know that to get published, it's very, very difficult to make money. You know, I've been doing this for a long time now, and it's only just this year that I feel a level of comfort financially from what I've been doing, and that may never happen again in my life. So it is important to keep that in mind, I think, and to think about kind of the nature of the part-time work you do.
Okay, third question. How did you get your first break? Looking back, how do you feel about it?
Well, this is where, this was where Sasha was really important. I had maybe it was the second draft of Loaded, my first novel. And Sasha was part of a small independent queer press called Black Bottle, based in Sydney. And I'd always thought, I just thought through the nature of the writing that it would be in the independent press that I would, publishing that I would find, if I was going to get published, it would happen there. So she gave the manuscript to Black Bottle, who were guardedly optimistic about it, but they did think that it was, I remember a report that it was racist and homophobic, which shut me off because I thought that had, but without that, I think Black Waddle have published really important stuff and it's really important what they do. But I didn't want to change, I was happy to work on another draft, but I thought they'd misunderstood what I was intending to write in that novel. I think in the early 90s, there's a really exciting moment in Australian publishing where I think there was these amazing women who became the heads of publishing departments in Random House, Jane Corfman, Sophie Cunningham, Alan and Unwin, Nikki Krista, I think it was at Pan Macmillan, who were younger than kind of the men who had run publishing for ages and were prepared to take risks with the kind of writing that they were publishing. And that's and so Sasha knew Jane Paul Freeman socially and had said to her, I have this manuscript by this writer Christos that I think you'll like. And he sent Jane a copy of the manuscript, and within a week I remember her ringing me up at home. I was living in, and I get this call saying I'd like to publish it. I just over the moon, of course.
What are some of the things that you know now that you wish you had known when you started out? Maybe one or two things.
The importance of editing.
Like your own work
My own work, but also kind of the test to I think that's probably the primary one. It's a good question. I'm just going to think about that.
Yeah, sure.
I think it is about, and also just I think. I think with the public stuff about being a writer that I knew I knew how to say no earlier.
Really, like public?
Yeah. I think that what happens is that, especially we're such a celebrity culture at the moment, we are so dominated by media that I think there are. And I understand that, and you know, I'm happy to do things. You know, I stand by the books I write, and I want them to people to read them. So I'm happy to do things, but I think that you know, you need to develop a wisdom about what are the important things to do and what are superfluous and not important.
Yeah.
And you know, marketing departments and publishing houses are going to want you to say yes to everything because that's their job. So you've got to learn, have really good people to listen to. You know, so you can say, actually, this is worth doing, but this is not really important.
Yeah.
So just, yes, I wish I'd known that, you know.
Okay.
Earlier age.
You've answered this question before, but how important do you think it is for emerging writers to read? What type of books should we read? And how many books do you read a month?
It is not only important for emerging writers to read, it's important for all writers to read. I mean, that, I think, is the way you learn about writing, is through reading other writers, is by being challenged by work, is by how you learn the vocabulary, how you learn about how stories work. So how many books are... on my bedside table at the moment, there is about 12 books. I mean, and you know, they get rotated. So at the moment, just to give you an idea, I've got in my bag, I'm reading a collection of Alice Munro short stories. And I've got Chekhov's short stories that I'm reading as well, because I've been writing short stories and I'm really interested in exploring that thing. I've got a collection of interviews with European film directors talking about the history of European film. I've got... rereading a great work called Let Us Now Praise Famous Men that was written during the Depression, a collaboration between James Agee and Walker Evans, the photographer. I'm rereading Dostoevsky's The Idiot at the moment as well. But just so you, I've also got a couple of books. Because I've got a story I'm developing about a swimmer, so I've been reading some swimmers' biographies, which are really boring. And just so I don't sound like I'm a complete wanker, I also have, you know, been going through a bit of an Agatha Christie phase as well.
So how many would you read a month? So what, 12 a month?
I'd read a lot. I mean, like everything, you go through different... There will be some months where I may be reading 12 books. There may be months where I'm only reading a couple. And I tend to go through a period where I'll read fiction, but then I may only read history for a while. It just depends on... I find when I'm in the middle of a book, I tend to read fiction a bit less, because especially if I've got, you know... I know what I'm doing, because then I don't want to be too influenced by other writers' voices.
Yeah.
But when I'm starting out things, then I read a lot of fiction.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about what, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same too, actually, I think. How's the new book going?
Hey?
How's the new book going, off the record?
I'm reading a lot of fiction at the moment. I was going to say too, mate, about the emerging... I've said this, and I mean it only half-jokingly, but if I was... if I was taking a writing course, I would have the first year where you would only read, because I do worry that, and this again, this is not only about emerging writing, I just worry we don't read enough.
Mm.
And it's just, and not only fiction, but non-fiction as well.
Yeah.
And we don't see enough movies, and we don't listen to enough music, and we don't, you know, that's what keeps me excited about what I'm doing, is kind of hearing new voices. You hear new voices through cinema as much as you do through fiction, through music as much as you do through...
It's interesting you say that. I agree with that too, about watching film as well. Okay. I write every time Rosie naps. Do you write every day? Do you have set times that you write? Do you write for short snippets or for full days? What works better?
Oh, look. I try and write every day, except days where I'm doing a full shift at work, because I just find I'm exhausted, especially if I'm starting in the morning. But I do try and write every day. I get up in the morning and I start writing. When I was working on Dead Europe, I actually started leaving the study and going out and writing
with a coffee and writing longhand. So in my bag at the moment I've got the books that I write longhand in. And I found that was a way of escaping the tyranny of the internet and email. I think it's really easy to just get sucked into that virtual vortex and you may have been at the desk for 4 hours but you've actually done nothing. So that's been really important to me. I wish I had better self-control. So I think that's why I've gone back to longhand, I think, just to...
So you think longhand is a good way of escaping all that? Yeah.
Because you're not actually at the computer.
Yeah.
You can't actually...
But doesn't your hand get sore?
Yes, it does, but it can get sore typing as well.
Your back can get sore.
Yeah.
When
I was going to say to that too. I think when you're starting something or in between work, you know, sometimes you're not very productive really because you're just and it's important to realise that reading time and watching film time is part of that process of getting energised again. Once I'm in the middle of a work, then I can write like for hours. You know, I'm just solidly in that space, and I'm excited about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a rush, a drug rush. And I think any of us who are writers understand that.
It's good to know that you feel the same in terms of the start of a novel. How, you know, it's like you start sort of trying to find your feet.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so
it's like because I'm working on a story about a swimmer, I'll use a swimming metaphor. It's like beginning a project is like paddling. You know, you're just kind of testing the water, and then. Once you're in it, then it's like you're swimming.
You're
the breaststroke and
it's good because, you know, sometimes other people don't have much confidence. They're thinking, what's wrong? Why can't I write? But, you know, it's good to know that even you have that.
I think And there's, yes, I do try and write something every day. Saying that, I do have weekends off.
Oh, okay. So you do give yourself weekends off.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm in the middle of a project, I will often write on weekends too. But, I just think, you know, my relationship's really important, my family's really important, my friendships are really important. I want to give myself time for those things as well.
Okay, so this sort of follows on. When you sit down to write, how do you stay focused and not be seduced by such distractions?
Writing longhand?
What about when you're actually at the computer?
I think that's a discipline that I think you develop as a writer. Without that discipline, because I love pleasure, I'm hedonistic, so, you know, give me an excuse to go out with your mate and have a coffee, I'll take it. So I had to really learn how to say no to that and to actually treat it as work, I think, to treat it as... the way you would when you go to your workplace, you know, that you have to actually do it.
Do you unplug the phone?
I always have the phone going to message bank when I'm writing.
That's good. Yeah, I take the phone off the hook too. This is sort of follows on what we talked about before. I didn't plan my first novel. I just let my characters lead me. Do you plan your novels? Example characters, plot, chapter outline before you start writing your first draft, or you just do you just have an idea in your head and you just start writing?
Good question. I mean, I said to you before, Coralie, I think we've got first novel. It's like what is exciting about first novels is that if they work, is the hearing of a new voice that you haven't quite heard in the culture before, and it was very definitely true for me with Loaded. What happened was I had started a short story that didn't really go anywhere, but there was a character in it called Ari, and I really liked the character, and I started writing him. And as soon as I started, I was in there. I think that there was a whole thing I wanted to write. And with the first novel, you don't know about publishing. You're not necessarily even thinking about publishing. Yeah. You're just thinking, this is what I want. I may never do this again, so I'm going to put all of my soul into it, which is what I think you should do with every book. But there's a kind of urgency there. I started writing, I realised pretty soon not to get lost in that I needed some direction for it to work as a novel. And I kind of discovered this in the process of working. I found that once I gave myself a structure, and it was not like, I didn't know where every chapter was going. I didn't exactly even know how it was going to resolve. But I gave myself a really simple structure. It was going to take place over 24 hours.
and it was going to be divided into points of the compass. And once I had that, then it felt like a novel. It didn't feel like a short story. It didn't feel like a diatribe. It didn't feel like a play. You know, it felt like, all right, this is a novel, and this is how the novel is structured. And I think with long forms and novellas and novels, I think that's really important to have a sense of an overriding structure, a sense of who your characters are. So,
would you actually create like a character profile before you would start writing? Or?
No, I've never done that. I know other writers have done it. I think part of the writing process, we are all individuals and we will find our own way of doing it. I don't do a character profile, but what I do is a family tree. And when I use the term family, I mean in an extended sense. That includes friendships and lovers. And I have that over my desk. So I kind of go, oh, yes, they're related to this person, and they've had an affair with that person. Yeah. And their sister's called this. And it's good, because sometimes you can get lost. You can kind of go, oh, wait a minute, has she got a brother? and the structure's great at the beginning to kind of work towards something. I find that in the middle of it, the structure, you may have to give up elements of that structure, you know.
Mm.
So there's always a role for the imagination and creativity to go.
Yeah.
And I think this comes from, the longer you do it, you realise too that, you know, I don't know if there's anything more to say to that, really. Yes, I do have a structure. I do think about narrative a lot more than I, you know, when I was writing my first novel. But that being said, you know, I can work on sometimes it's just a simple idea. So I've just started a play because I had this image of three people in a room, and I'm just going from that, you know.
So it just depends, I guess, on the type of work.
It does. Yeah, and you know, the short stories are different to a novel, which is different to a novella, which is different to a non-fiction work, which is different to a play, which is different to a script.
Yeah.
I said to you earlier, working on scripts, I got some really good advice really early on, where I first draft of a film script, I just think about the visuals. Yeah. There's no dialogue.
Yeah.
You know? That gives me a sense of how it's going to look and how it's going to sound. I actually think about what music will be in it, what sound effects.
Yeah. Okay. This sort of leads on from that. Because I didn't plan my novel, I wrote a shitty first draft, and I think I want to write another shitty first draft for my next one. At what point do you share your work with others? Like, at what draft? Like, readers, editors, you know, etc. Do you keep your first draft private?
I have, and I thank them in, I mean, I'm part of a reading group, a writing group with Jessica McGotto, Jennifer Booker, Sanaya Letter, and I also meet with a friend who's a writer, Angela Savage, and I will show them really early stuff.
Like first draft?
First draft as well.
Yeah.
But when it comes to outside that circle, except Wayne, my partner too, I will show stuff, early stuff as well, but I don't actually show, say, anyone in the publishing world or anyone outside that circle until I feel confident about that it stands alone as a draft. But it's just not kind of ideas, but that it feels like a real book, or that possibility of a real book.
Mm.
And I just think that's important too, because I trust that these other writers, you know, we know each other and we know each other's work, and I trust they understand the process of writing, you know, and so that they can see what I'm attempting to do, or that. And that can be really exciting, because they can point out things that you haven't even thought of yourself. But I'm very loath, I mean, you know, I get, for example, I would not show a publisher, and I would not show a publisher a work until I felt confident it was a book already.
I always have days when I'm so uninspired to write. Do you ever feel wanting for inspiration or motivation? How do you confront these moments?
Oh yes, of course. And it's, you know, gone
there's
now.
There's days that you're in front of the computer and you're going, oh my God, I'm such a genius. This is amazing. And there's just as many days where you sit and go, I'm a piece of shit. This is a piece of shit. What made me think I could be a writer? I am just a big fraud. And both of those extremes are not true.
Yeah.
When I have those bleak moments, I still try and write. I try and write something, whether it's something in my journal, just conveying how I feel. I may put the fiction aside and actually work on a play. I may even work on an essay, something. And that's a good, because you're still writing, you're still wording, using words, you're still thinking about how words work, mm-hmm. how language works. So I think that's important to do, and I think I'm lucky in that way that I can work between different forms of writing too.
Mm.
And then I also am, you know, I can, in those days, I will finish early and go off and see a film.
Mm.
And I'll see a film maybe to just have a laugh, or I'll see a film hoping that I might get inspired.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the process too, is, you know, rather than flagellate yourself too much, to just go out and get inspired.
Do you sometimes just force yourself?
Yes. I think, again, I'm going back to that metaphor about it is work.
Mm.
And it's the same thing, I think mental health days are really important, so I take some of those with writing, but, you know, there are days when you go to the workplace and you really don't want to be there, but you have to. And you find that within an hour, you're working. And
yeah.
It's the same with writing. There's sometimes I get up in the morning and I've made the coffee and I'm sitting by the computer and I'm going, oh, fuck, I'm a fraud. And then I start doing something and...
Yeah. Well, it's good that you have those moments too.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm just checking the time. What's it?
Yeah, it's almost 10 past. I'll drop you off.
You drop me off?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Cool. Yeah.
So, have you ever read other writers' books on the writing craft? Are there any that you recommend?
I have read other writers. Look, I'm going to go for the classics in a sense. I think Virginia Woolf's A Room of One's Own
mm-hmm.
was really inspirational for me. I think Tobias Wolff's In Pharaoh's Army is a great book about the development of what it means to become a writer. They're not really how-to, neither of those are how-to books in a sense, but they are writers talking about the process of writing, and I think that's to me is much more important than the how-to. I've gone down through some blind alleys. I've made some mistakes, you know, but you know, I've learned a few things on this along the way. But I do get inspired by kind of reading other writers on the process of imagination and what imagination means. And I read recently Louis Buñuel's, the filmmaker's autobiography, and that was really inspiring too.
Mm.
So not as much how to, but I would recommend. There are some artists who have written beautiful works on the process of imagination and creation, and that's what I'd recommend. So Virginia Woolf, Tobias Wolff come to mind, Louis Buñuel, Bergman's The Magic Lantern.
That's fine. Having written my first novel, I now know how important it is to keep redrafting for your novel, but also to improve your writing skills. What advice can you offer an emerging writer to improve the quality of their work?
So,
if you want to improve the quality of your work, what things can you recommend a writer do to improve their work? So, like, redrafting, I guess, would be one.
I mean, I think one of the important ones for me is reading the work out loud
yeah.
and trusting your ear. Because I think when I read it out loud, I can go, ooh, that just did not sound right. That's the wrong word to use in that situation. So I think that's really important. I answered an earlier question saying about I wish I knew known more about editing mm-hmm. when I'd begun writing, and I think it is realising that editing is just as crucial to the process of writing as the imaginative work.
Yeah.
So being always going through the work with a
an editor's eye, if possible. Not that I'm an editor, I mean, I think editing is a particular skill, and so that's one way of doing it. I think developing,
and it may be only one individual, or be like me, a group of individuals who you do really trust, who you do really respect in terms of their commitment to writing and reading up, meeting up regularly. Because the thing is, if you've got to develop a tough skin in this kind of industry, because your work is public. At some point, if you're going to be published, you have to develop a tough skin that can take criticism. So one of the ways I've learned to do that is through showing my work to people.
Yeah.
So that's another thing I'd strongly recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That's
and always read. I'm going back. To
read. Ever since I started my creative writing course, I think I've been focused on technicalities of writing instead of the creativity of writing. And sometimes I think it has a negative effect on how much writing I'm producing. What do you think of creative writing courses? Do you think they help? A difficult one.
I think anything that forces you to the desk and creates a deadline is probably a really helpful thing, because you know one of the difficult things about writing is the self-discipline, actually having to create your own deadlines and keep to it. As I said, I'm always tempted to have a copy.
So I think in that way, the fact that they actually make people do the work is really important about creative writing. I also think that if you get a good, it's like anything, you know, in education, what do you remember of school? You remember those teachers that inspired you, remember those teachers that made the subject come alive.
Yeah.
So I think if you are lucky to be in a creative writing course where you have those kind of inspirational teachers, then it's fantastic. And I think creative writing courses obviously offer a space to criticise work and look at work, so that must be really good. So the reason I'm hesitating is I have no experience of them really, so
yeah.
You know, I'm not the best person to ask, and please put that in,
yeah.
I'm not the best person to ask. I think the only thing I'd worry about is unrealistic expectations. But you're better, you can answer that better than
yeah,
I can about
yeah.
the
Yeah, I find it difficult to work...
The other thing I'll say is that creative writing as a subject should not be separate from the other subjects. You know, my subjects were politics and history. I'm really glad I had politics and history because they inform my writing.
I think there needs to be some of that in the creative writing courses. I wish there was like a politics subject or something
like
that.
Yeah, I actually think there should be a subject, for example, like the politics writing. There should be debates and arguments and conversation
and
about
isn't.
That. Because writing does not happen in a vacuum. It happens as part of a social practice.
Yes, that's right.
So
yes.
Again, hesitating because I'm not an expert, but I wish there was more of that.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you to say that.
Yeah. I find it difficult to workshop my novel in class because I find that if the reader has not taken the journey with my characters, how can they judge my writing unless I workshop every piece from the start? What do you think of workshopping? Do you think it helps when writing novels? You sort of answered that, but do you get what I'm saying? Like, unless I workshop the chapters as they come, then if I give someone chapter 8, how do they know? They haven't been on the journey with me. How can
when
they help
I'll,
me?
I'll go back. When I first started doing the mentorship program for Express Media, as I think I said to you, I feel a bit guilty because I was finding out how it... So when I first started, I was just... I was working with people who didn't necessarily have a novel. They just had an idea or a few thousand words.
Mm-hmm.
And then, say... By the time I was working with Andrew Hutchinson, when I did interviews with the shortlist, I said to him, I wanted someone who had at least a first draft that I could read, that was serious about being a novelist, that was serious about having committed to the work. So, because I think you're right, I think it's really difficult to just isolate sections of a novel, so
you need to understand the whole journey, as you said, or the whole trajectory of what this story is. That being said, I think the best, because I don't have experience of creating writing courses, but I do have experience of workshopping.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing.
Is that I think it's really important, it's helpful to actually come to the group with specific questions.
Yeah.
And to go, actually, I'm giving you this section because it's related to A, B and C, and what I'm having difficulty with is this.
Yeah.
I'm actually having difficulty with narrative, or I'm having difficulty, is this character believable?
Yeah.
If not, why not?
Yeah.
You know, why is this situation not working? So I actually have, I think it's really important to present the work with a series of objectives that you want to get out of the process.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. I'll just skip over to, because we're running out of time, how do you deal with rejection?
Valium?
On the record!
No, you can put that on the record. I think rejection is always difficult and will always continue to be difficult.
How can we stay motivated when there's so much rejection?
By developing that tough skin.
Yeah.
By developing that really tough skin and realizing that if you are serious about this vocation, this is, and you know, if this is, don't get into this if you're looking for celebrity. Don't get into this if you're looking for status. Don't get into this if you kind of like the idea of being a writer. Do this if writing is the one thing that you must do in your life. And if that is the reason you're continuing to do it, then you will find a way of developing. Build really good relationships around you. Remember, you are not only a writer, you're also a partner, a wife, husband, child, friend.
And what about having faith in your work as well? Like, I mean, now if I don't get shortlisted, that doesn't mean that my book isn't publishable.
No, it just means that there was, look, all the awards, all those things, they're a bit of a lottery.
Yeah.
Really, it depends on who are the judges on the day, what they had for breakfast, what, you know. And also, you know, that there is, failure sometimes can be the most inspiring thing in the long run. I remember I was gutted after the response to the Jesus Man. I got some really terrible reviews, and there was a period where I felt like ditching it all.
Yeah.
But I kind of took some of it on board, and I kind of thought, well, fuck it, I'm actually, you know, what it made me realise is that there's nothing else in the world I wanted to do. So I wanted to, so I went back and worked at doing it better.
Yeah.
And I think failure, I sound like some kind of Oprah Winfrey moment, but I do think that learning how to deal with failure is one of the most important lessons kind of as a writer, really, or as an artist. And also in the end too, that, you know, there's a really subjective element to the arts, you know, unlike the scientific method, you know, how do you attest a hypothesis of what is a good book, you know? It is truly a subjective moment. And that's why, you know, creative writing courses should have the politics of writing as part of the, or part of how, I'm trying to answer your question because it's a good one. I think from my experience, I was gutted, and there have been moments when I've received a bad review, even now that I'm gutted. And you do remember the bad reviews more than the good ones, I mean, but I have kind of a faith in that this is the thing I can do, and I trust that faith. It's like, you know, it's a religious kind of sense in that way. You know, what is faith? Faith is trust, and you have to learn how to trust yourself. And I'm fortunate I have Wayne, and I have friends, and I have family who trust that commitment as well. But yeah, kind of, yeah, faith is essential.
Yeah. Well, let me stop this now.
And, you know, I will say, you know,
and you're allowed to indulge yourself, you know. Do get, you know, if you do get rejection, it's quite fine to go out and get pissed or out of it and to smash a bottle in the alley.
Okay,